don't see how long.
Oh.
George is back in this lot.
I don't think I brought one with me.
Just because I'm staying from on.
James made fancy. Well, James made pictures?
I don't know if you got those.
I did not get those.
I gave you this one.
Yeah.
Okay.
All
right.
Let me tell
you something.
Close to 20 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So.
I mean, I didn't.
You said you're ready? I'm sorry.
I am ready. We're
okay.
Yeah.
All right, so I'd like to call the public hearing portion of our meeting to order. So the purpose of this hearing is for discussion of an expenditure from the school building maintenance expendable trust fund for replacement of water pipes in the Hillsborough Deering Elementary School. So let me start with doing the pledge. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
And to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Take a moment of silent reflection. Okay, so like I said, we're here tonight to talk about the water pipes for the Hillsborough Deering Elementary School. So I would like to let James Bailey, who's the facilities director, speak to that in more detail. So we're looking to replace 15 sinks.
There's 15 sinks, and it's going to tie in 3 bubblers. The rest of the scope of work is included on the handout that was in the packet and up there. Everything pretty much stayed the same as what we talked about. The previous meeting. The number is the same number as what we talked about. We reached out for other numbers, but we didn't have anyone else interested in putting a number to it or being able to do the work. So that's what we have. Another bit of information that we have now, the DOE has come through with a 50% match grant that we can apply for.
Oh.
So if this is approved tonight and we're moving forward with the work, then we'll have that application submitted to try to get 50%. They're saying up to 50%, so we don't know if it is going to be 50% or if it's going to be somewhere in between or if we'll get it all. But that is a possibility that this could be reimbursed.
Okay. Does anybody have any questions for James? I know the board has talked about this in vast detail.
Yeah.
And James has been back numerous times, but do we have any additional new different questions? We didn't have an estimate or a quote in front of us before. We did have a pretty picture before, but.
And that was for this summer, right?
It'd be summer work, correct.
So if we do get the grant, that would be a reimbursement, so we'd probably not know until we have an idea timeline.
They didn't give us a time frame for when the decision would be made. Anything like that on the application.
Like next year at this time or so.
You never know.
So James, you've gotten one estimate so far.
Correct.
Okay, and there's been a request for quotes or request for proposal. And so do you think the maximum, I think the last time you said, was 50,000?
Maximum would be 50,000, but
okay.
Now this is a firm number. We know this
okay.
is what it's going to cost to get that work done.
I'm just trying to figure if the board decides to put forth a proposal to move money from the fund, the building fund, to this. What's the number they should go with? So is it would be up to $50,000? Would be what?
Yeah. What is your comfort and recommendation at this point, given?
You always like a little contingency in there, so I think up to 50,000 is going to be the way to go, and then sticking with directly on that number.
Any other board questions before I open it up for public comment and questions?
If we get some reimbursement, will that automatically go back into the fund? How do we work that?
Probably a Lori question.
I don't know that Lori.
We don't have a Lori tonight, but that probably is a Lori question.
Okay.
I I would imagine.
I would just
assume
if we pull it from there, we put it back.
Yeah.
I would hope so.
I think if we proceed and they know we're committed to doing this and we say we're going to go forward with this, we would get an answer from the DOE. Do you have any idea on a timeline from them?
I don't.
That's fine.
Okay.
I don't know what the time frame is on grant approval. Again, yep. This grant is all new through the DOE, funded from the governor. They set up this fund to help offset the costs of what they kind of put in place. So that's where we are right now. So I don't know how many people, how competitive this grant is going to be. Who's going to go out for it? What other schools are doing as far as how much of that grant they're going to be looking for. So it's kind of up in the air. There's no definite that we're going to have to grant.
I think with the Homeland Security stuff, we could ask Laurie how they did that, because that was 80% reimbursement,
okay.
But
okay.
That didn't come out of a trust fund. That's, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, so, okay.
I think that's a question. That's an accounting kind of question. It's a good one, though.
Yes.
Any other board comment or questions before I open up public comment?
Could we get an answer maybe from Laurie by email to the board at some point? I mean, I don't know if that affects my decision necessarily, but this has some things you could...
We'll get it as soon as we can.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Public comment? Do you have any comments or questions on this one? Yes.
Just want to know, what's the official name of that fund?
The Maintenance Expendable Trust Fund. Any other public comments or questions? This is the quickest public hearing ever. Mm-hmm. Going once, going twice. All right, any other last board comments on this before we close out the public hearing portion? All right, we'll close out the public hearing. All right, it is what time? 6:22, call the meeting, the regular school board meeting to order. Hi, Will. We have Will Phillips with us from the New Hampshire School Board Association. Thank you for coming. You can. We call it the hot seat, but we won't call it the hot seat tonight.
It probably will be.
So thank you for coming out. So we got the letter from Conval about that you guys had forwarded to us about the potential lawsuit. And we've been discussing that the last couple meetings or so. And one of the things that came up at our last meeting was we wanted to get the School Board Association's perspective, thoughts, looking at some of our legal options, perspectives and things of that nature. So we wanted to, instead of having just one or two of us talk with you, we thought it would be nice to see if you could come out and talk to the entire board. So we are glad you were able to join us tonight.
Well, thank you for having me come. I'm not sure that that's what we thought we were doing, but...
excellent.
Excellent. And so the letter from Conval is actually one that I might not have seen. I've seen the Conval suit. I've seen the decision or the order on the preliminary injunction. I can speak about the suit.
Yep.
It's not our function to advise school districts relative to litigation.
Yep.
We provide information and... can answer questions.
Sure.
But let's see the letter.
Oh, Chris Vegas.
There we go.
It was emailed out, actually. Probably was your other arm that emailed out to the association.
Well, it doesn't.
A few weeks back.
This doesn't come from us. It says dear NHSBA members, but it actually comes from.
Conval.
It was forwarded.
It was forwarded by you guys.
By
yes.
The association.
Sorry.
But with a disclaimer saying that you weren't taking sides.
Ah, okay. Cool.
but it was. From, that's why I said it was from your other arm. It was from Attorney Mayor Christina.
Yes. Yeah, occasionally what happens is we'll get people asking to use our mail list.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't, but I know that we haven't taken a position on this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there.
All up to speed?
I'll bring it.
I'll leave it, yeah, like, you can use it to refer that.
So, I think I can answer questions. I think that's probably
sure.
more appropriate.
Absolutely.
Thing. I can say, are you all aware of what's, you know, what the case generally is? I know that I saw in earlier minutes that you discussed it.
Mm-hmm.
There are some finer points that maybe get lost unless you really read through everything, and even then, you kind of have to summarize it. But I'll start with where it is now. So they had a hearing in late March. One of the things Conbell was asking for was a preliminary injunction to coincide with the April 1st payments from the state. And they were seeking to, when we think of injunction, we usually think it means stop doing something. There's prohibitive or prohibitory injunctions, that's the stop doing something, and then there's the mandate injunctions, also called mandatory injunctions, and a mandatory injunction is telling you you need to do something. So they were seeking a mandatory injunction telling the state to pay what, and here's where one of the finer points. They're not, Conbell from its suit is not seeking a restructuring of Claremont. What that suit does is takes sort of product of the 2008 legislative study committee that then generated some of the funding statutes, uses the data, the state's own data, to say, look at even using your data, if you apply it to the minimum standards which you, the state, require districts to adhere to, and then a couple of other practical realities, your numbers don't match what you call adequate education. So they're not looking for, in this suit, a redefinition of what adequate education means. They're just saying that you've defined it, you did some studies that were flawed just based on how the practical realities and the legal realities of running a school district. So for instance, according to Conbell and in the state, state statutes require that you have superintendent services. Well, superintendent services aren't part of what was used to determine adequate education. So there are just things like that. So what Conbell is looking to do, and Winchester now, because Winchester has joined the suit, is asking the state to use their own regulations, their own statutes, and the practical reality of school districts to come up with the real number for adequate education using the existing definition of adequate education. That's the best I can say. And if you've read through the suit, you can see that they've focused on, I think offhand, four different types of elements, all with little subparts. So for instance, the state formula used class size ratios in order to determine here's the number of teachers you need. And so for instance, if you have a class size minimum standard of 30, which applies I think to third grade through 12th grade, then if you have 31 kids, you need two teachers. But that's not how the formula would work. It would use 1.0, whatever that comes out to. So that just things like that, they used a ratio for when it came up with total cost for teachers, they use 33% for benefits. If they apply and the benefits includes, for instance, New Hampshire retirement system, which by itself is 15% plus, and then you throw on there FICA and just the statutory requirements, so not even what you actually provide your teachers and benefits, because you probably have professional development, you probably have long-term disability insurance, and probably have life insurance, so you have a bunch of benefits that if even taking those out and just applying what the state provides its own employees, the average, I think, was I'll get to it. It was greater than, I think it was 26,000. If you use the state formula, it's 17,000. And there's no district in the state whose benefits for teachers is lower than or even at the number that's, you know, they is assumed in the formula. So anyway, that's what the general suit was about, not to redefine adequate education, but to come up, use real data and come up, with a real number using the state's formula. The suit sought a preliminary injunction. They had a hearing in late March. The court denied the preliminary injunction, not on the merits of the case, but really on one of the merits of what you need, the substantive requirements for a preliminary injunction, and in fact, I think only reached really one of them, which is, whether there's irreparable harm that would come from not granting the injunction. Without getting into some of the legal theories that were relied on, the court said there was no irreparable harm. The irreparable harm has to be, it would occur rather than waiting until the trial date. So this would be a harm that is going to befall the petitioner if the court didn't make the order rather than waiting until the trial. So the court essentially said, no, we can wait till a trial, but part of that was moving the trial, fast-tracking it until the end of June. So before the beginning of the next fiscal year, and that was actually a key point. It may have been that, if the court was making that decision on June 29th, it might, that could tip it differently, because there's some really, sovereign immunity applies to past claims, but not future claims, and so forth. And so once the fiscal year ended, there would be the potential for an argument that you couldn't get money damages from the last year. So that's where the cutoff date came in. If you're talking about a normal lawsuit where you're looking for damages, you don't usually have this fiscal year problem. Anyway, so that I think gets us up to today. The trial is they've got dispositive motions, which are motions to dismiss or a motion for summary judgment. Summary judgment meaning you can have a judgment without having to have a trial. Those are due, I think, at the beginning of May, with the court decision a few weeks afterwards. For those of you who are familiar with litigation, those of you who aren't, generally speaking, if you're talking about a case where you're looking for millions of dollars, that probably is going to take you a year and a half, a couple of years. It's not going to take 4 months. So this is extremely fast track. Conval asked for it to be fast track. Apparently the state asked for it to be fast track, but then sort of couched it a little bit by saying, but there'll need to be a lot of discovery, which I don't know how you could do that in a couple of months. But because they agreed at the outset that it could be fast tracked, the court said, okay, I'll give you what you want. And that tied in, I think, partly with the sovereign immunity claim. And when did this letter go out?
Right when they filed.
Okay. So at the time, they didn't know they were going to have a trial by the end of June.
Right.
And I think, just from a practical standpoint, that might impact the ability for districts to join if they don't do it right away.
Right.
Certainly having Winchester join gives it a little bit of a different flavor, because as you know, Conbell is one of the largest single districts. It's a cooperative, but it's made up of 9 different pre-existing districts, and I think that might be the largest in the sense of number of towns. It's not by far, not by population, and not by even area, but none of the towns are really at the bottom of the property value scale. Even the ones on the lower end, such as Antrim and Bennington, aren't the same in the same discussion as Berlin and Franklin and Claremont. Winchester is, however, so it really does give it a, you've got this single district that tuitions its children to a high school. So a lot of that cost isn't even something within their control, as opposed to Conbell that has the 9 different towns. So I think that, you know, adding the different things might give it a different flavor. But that's where we are today, I think.
Okay. What do you guys have for questions?
I have a couple. What if we should decide to join this, what are the ramifications for our district? Cost or any other ramifications?
Well, I can't tell you cost, because we're not privy to that conversation. So that's really a conversation with the attorneys who are handling it. I know that some districts that have engaged in this same conversation, because, you know, this went to everybody. Shows you that I don't read all of our bulletins. I mean, I was aware that it had gone to some, but I didn't know that it had been broadcast.
Yeah.
But I know that some of the districts that are having the conversations are having the conversation and bringing in their own attorney. You know, that part of it would be we would have our own attorney join it. There are times when one attorney can represent multiple parties as long as their interests aren't in conflict, but to the extent they are, the parties have entered what's called an informed consent agreement. So I think it would depend greatly on how you decided to participate on the cost side of it. On the ramification side of it, Conbell and Winchester right now are the only ones with standing claims on the current fiscal year. If we're talking about the next fiscal year, that probably would be a rolling effect. Part of the suit seeks to hold the formula as unconstitutional, but that wasn't greatly explored in the preliminary injunction process. If they were successful, then that would be appealed, and actually in either event it will be appealed. But if it was unconstitutional, then it would apply to everybody. If it was simply as applied to Conbell and Winchester, then they would reap the benefit of the case in the short term, but I think in the long term it would apply more generally. Short term, theoretically, there's a claim for monies that would be received from the current fiscal year. I would say I'm just speculating, but the state can't settle this.
Okay. Why? I mean, clearly we're not getting enough money from the state. I mean, every year our taxes go up. it seems we're getting less and less money from the state, so we're passing more and more of a burden onto our local taxpayers. Why wouldn't you guys support this? I know I'm putting you on a hot seat because, I mean, but it seems that it's, the state is failing in their, I mean, if they're supposed to be paying for an adequate education, there's nowhere near enough money for an adequate education.
Well, I think, I've
so why wouldn't you guys say, yeah, you're right.
Well, first, we weren't asked.
Okay.
Until after they filed it. Secondly, if you look at what NHSBA has been doing in the legislature, which is vigorously supporting various funding bills to address that. We found out about the petition the day it was filed. So it wasn't something that, you know, we were asked to participate in. For those of you who are familiar with how NHSBA's positions are generally developed, they come through a delegate assembly. We have a board of directors. The board meets quarterly. So it's something like that would have to come through a process, okay. Just like, you know, yep. Any of your decisions have to.
Okay.
The idea of forcing the state to recognize that even using their definition of adequate does not result in the meager monies that are being distributed to the states. That is something that we would support and do support. And if you follow the legislative bulletins, you'll see that those are the positions that we've been advocating and spending a great deal of time on. I hope that answers it.
Yeah, fair enough.
I mean, I can't speak for the board of directors. No, relative
understood.
To litigation.
It's the process. I get it.
Can I ask? Was there something about the end of March that they decided to do this? I mean, or has it just been ongoing? They said, well, enough is enough, it's time to file. Was there some special reason?
Well, I can't speak to their rationale other than I do think or know, just based on some conversations, that it did have a great deal to do with the April 1st funding payment. That distribution. So it was a process in the works. Apparently, you don't just wake up on Tuesday and file a 20-plus page petition. But they did time it specifically to come close to the. They wanted to get it in with enough time to have it heard, at least in some sense, prior to the end of the fiscal year. So that was really the. My understanding of what the date was.
One more. I don't know much about law. All I know about law is what I see on TV, the one or two programs that I do watch. But if we'll, this is going to go to court and somebody's going to have to rule on this, will the number of districts that participate in this lawsuit have any effect on the outcome? For instance, if every district in the state said, yeah, they're right, we think this is underfunded and we're all going to participate, versus just the two districts that are going now, would that have any bearing on this case?
It depends on which part of this process and which part of the relief that the petitioners are seeking you look at. So ultimately this will back up. So you have a trial court, you have an appellate court. The trial court makes first makes the findings of fact, so takes evidence about different factual pieces. If there's any evidence that supports that factual finding, so if you think about, you know, the car accident. So the car accident is there enough evidence to show that the guy went through the light? Yes. Then the question is, does that make that person liable for the accident that resulted? That's a more of a legal question than a fact question. So you've got the evidentiary part, which is just questions of, you know, the different evidence that comes in to show one thing or the other. But then you've got the legal question is, and in this case, you've got, are these, is the data that DOE provided when it did the 2008 study and thereafter, because much of the Conbell case is based on all of the Conbell petition and the Winchester petition is based on data from the state. The basic part of it, rather than relying on, you know, we had an expert witness come in and the expert witness did this. Really what they're doing is they're looking at, here's what transportation costs are throughout the state based on data provided by the state, et cetera. So you've got the factual part of it, and then you've got how much money would the local districts receive, you know, in that type of judgment. But then you've also got, is the package of laws that provide our current grant structure, is it constitutional? Is it legal? That second part, I don't think, is impacted by the number of districts that are in the state. I suppose it could be impacted by, the weight behind the petition. If a district were to be using independent counsel, sometimes you end up with different arguments and approaches than the first plaintiff would have or a second plaintiff. But I think on the other part of it, so the fact and how much damages, I think that it doesn't have a bearing on how the court would approach it, I don't think. But it certainly would have a bearing on this current fiscal year for whatever districts participate, and that's a potential benefit that probably wouldn't be obtained otherwise. I can't speak to the likelihood of success. I can simply say that, you know, at least in the individual district sense, it could have make an important difference.
Thank you.
Just to follow on that a little bit, and then a question about some like other potential options that we might decide to go. When Winchester and Monadnock School District filed, you mentioned a petition. So I guess just clarification for myself,
sure.
Since I'm not in the legal grind every day, kind of like Rich mentioned. Is that a separate petition that they filed, or were they kind of endorsing the first one on the table?
They apparently took up the invitation. So there's one petition that Conbell filed. So Conbell was the original petitioner in that case. The Winchester District filed, I don't know off the top of my head or don't recall, I can find it in my little binder here. You can join a case either through a motion to join or a motion to intervene. I assume it was a motion to intervene, but they're essentially the same thing. So they filed a motion to join the Conbell effort as a petitioner. But they have their own petition that follows the same arguments, but the data, how it impacts the local district is different. So Conbell has 2,000 students, Winchester I think has 500 students, and because of the tuition agreement, and more importantly because of the fact that Winchester is really down, you know, on the very low end of the property valuation. They have a different petition. There are times when you simply say, we want to join what he said. But that in this case, they really are separate. I don't know if Winchester brought it with a separate attorney. I can't answer that question.
So that'd be more of a question for them, I guess, because I was thinking too in terms of that with Winchester, that gets into as far as expenses, that's probably between them, as far as who's going to bear the cost to file.
How they did it, and I don't know that the letter.
I think that came out before Winchester.
Yeah, because that was posted the same day.
I was wondering if there was a particular.
They filed back on March 13th. The letter, I think, was shortly after that.
Who, Winchester or Conville?
Conville filed on Wednesday, the 13th.
So it simply says, any school boards interested in coordinating efforts are invited to reach out to any of the following contacts. So coordination, at least if I'm just reading that for what it's worth, could mean one of the two approaches. Either you're filing a motion with their counsel, but that would involve a couple of steps that are not apparent from the information that I have.
That was sort of what we were getting at by having you here tonight too. When I think I was conversing mostly with Perry and Christina, but that's what we're getting to as far as those types of options and different ways we could respond to that request.
Yeah. So I think that one thing that is, and again, we can't advise Hillsborough Dairying what you should or shouldn't do, but I can say that the petitions, petition and Winchester's later petition follow a formula. You know, they have a here's the data from the state, and all of the data is based on reports. And so you're simply taking the information that relates to you, and here's how much it impacts you, here's how much we're looking for in relief. But you know, whether or not local counsel would have different legal theories to bring, that by the way is one of maybe the only downside that I can think of to the short window, is that when you have a case that runs its normal course, there's a lot of room for amending your complaint, for when you find new evidence, you say, hey, we didn't know this at the time, we want to add this claim, we want to add this theory, and it's much harder to do that on a tight window. So it's something I think that you'd have to take action on right away if you were inclined to do it. Has anyone actually been in contact with Conval directly about how it would work?
Not officially. We've been kind of waiting until, Rich Calhoun did reach out to me and I reached out back to him, but not officially.
Right.
So I think we've been waiting to see what the board decides before going any further on that.
So it's something that you'd have to do right away.
That's what you have to say.
Because I think the dispositive motions are due either at the end of this month or very beginning of May. And really, I can't see how you expand it too much further past that point. I have had cases that evolve very quickly. But if you were to come in later than, say, the dispositive motion time, even assuming the court would grant that, you would really have to follow strictly what they're already doing. If you were looking to delay it, then, it's a little bit easier, but I think you'd have resistance on part of some of the other plaintiffs.
Yeah, we'd have more say, and I guess too, we'd want to do a sooner than later anyways if we're going to do it, but we'd have more ability to add in our own, how it affects us, is what you're saying.
So it sounds like our options would be file like Winchester with our own petitions, piggybacking off what Conville is already doing, or joining what Conville has already done. Is that a true statement?
I think they're both in that context.
Yeah.
sort of the same. What I don't know from that letter, and I know that I heard one district talking about it, you know, they're supporting it financially, but we have not been involved in any of those discussions. I mean, we had the courtesy of getting a copy of the petition the day it was filed, but other than that, they have not been in direct contact with us about how the mechanics are working.
Okay.
One of the other options we had talked about early on, a couple meetings ago too, was if we didn't join the suit, possibly doing a letter. I guess is that at this point, would that have any kind of a factor? Would it be worthwhile to do that, or is it again? This is, as you said, it's through the courts. So,
well, generally speaking, a letter wouldn't even be admissible.
Okay.
In one sense, because it's in order to offer testimony, you have to have somebody there to testify. There are procedural ways to do it, and I suppose that could be something that if the district were inclined to go that route, they would need to coordinate that with the attorney who's representing Conval, because Conval would be and or Winchester, and again, I'm not sure if it's the same firm that's handling it, but in order to get. So an outside party can't just send a letter to the court saying, hey, take this into consideration too. It has to come in through one of the parties there. So you'd have to coordinate that.
So if we decided we wanted to participate in this, we would either, as a board, reach out to Conval or have our attorney reach out to their attorney?
Yes.
One or the other?
Usually through the attorney.
Usually through the attorney.
Or through the superintendent. So generally speaking, because a board can only act with one voice.
Right.
And because of the different roles and responsibilities of administration and board, generally speaking, attorney-client communications are handled through superintendent's office, but there are occasions when it's more through the board, or it might be through the BA or something like that. But I think procedurally, what you would need to do with the amount of time, because each day is worth 3 weeks in normal litigation.
Yep. Yep.
I think you'd have to address, the mechanisms for how you would get to, okay, we want to find more information about this, but we're serious about this. But how do you make the board, are you giving someone authority to enter it? Do they have some sort of authority? Because the board would have to take action on that. Either that, or the board would have to reconvene and have another meeting in order to pull the trigger. So given the amount of time that's involved, I think, you'd have to give real consideration to that tonight.
Yeah.
Are you authorizing to do somebody to do something? And if so, what are you authorizing them to do? And I think right now you don't really have enough information to make a clear decision. So you're either doing that, or you're simply doing information gathering and having a special meeting of the board. Because when's your next meeting?
Not till May.
2 weeks.
Right. So I can't speak for the judge, obviously,
yeah.
and I'm not privy to really the calendar that the plaintiff's attorneys are using right now. I would imagine that each day that goes by, the likelihood that the court would grant a motion to intervene goes down considerably. And each day that goes by, even if the court were to grant it, if you were interested in bringing this to a quick head, the ability of the state to argue that it's disadvantaged mm-hmm. by additional parties is such that a delay is right. in order.
I think when we outreached, I mean, we've been talking about this for at least two sessions. When we outreached to you guys to come, we hadn't, the fast-tracking piece of the conversation hadn't come to fruition. I think that just happened recently, so.
A week and a half ago.
Yeah, so I think we hadn't made any hard and fast decisions because we wanted to speak with you, we wanted to get more information, and then now the fast-tracking piece of the conversation does change, I think, mm-hmm. the way we kind of think about this. But what are your guys, what are your thoughts?
Do I understand if we file very quickly, that's for money for this year, and we would have to file again for next year.
No, it's the same. So, Conbell has a number of, actually both have a number of, they're called prayers for relief. So different types. So one is for the state to meet its constitutional obligations as they see them, as Conbell sees them, and Winchester by. For this fiscal year, and then also to meet them for next fiscal year. So you bring them in the same, you can bring them in the same case as long as they're based on the same basic set of facts.
I have a question, which is, it's somewhat related, but a little bit, it's a little bit shifting gears more to the legislative side of things. You know, if This process going on and whether or not we jump into it or not, but is this lawsuit, would it be affected by the work that's also being done by the legislature right now? You know, where I know the Delegate Assembly charged, you know, the School Board Association to lobby for several bills that were going to benefit school districts, hopefully, if they pass, namely like the state retirement system, you know, and adequacy aid, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, is this something that is mere, but is it more of a distraction, or does it have any kind of a weight? I guess that's the other thing we're trying to sort of wade into the weeds. Is it worth our time? I don't know. It's, you know, in general speaking.
I don't know that I can answer that too clearly. I can say that part of the relief that Conbell is seeking, if they were successful, it certainly would change what the legislature has to do in order to respond to the case. How it impacts the current legislation is probably they're parallel. I don't think they relate well enough, because one of them is, here's the formula we're using right now. So the case is, here's the formula we're using right now, or here's the definition we're using right now, here's your formula, the formula that you use, without really attacking the formula, is relying on data that just makes no sense. So that's the Conbell suit, whereas the legislation is all to change different components of that. I'm trying to think of the various bills, and again, I'm not the government services person, so I don't track them as closely as Nicole and Barrett, but I think of the ones that are part of the budget, I don't think in the short term they would be impacted, but there's some others, redefining adequacy, that would be. So one of them is creating new things that don't exist now, which isn't part of the Conbell case. And then the other one is actually redefining what the whole Conbell case is premised on. But either way, in the short term, the Conbell case is seeking monies for this fiscal year and next fiscal year that really wouldn't, absent that case, would not influence the current legislation. I'm trying to follow, because as you know, there's several school right. funding bills in place. But so I think the answer is not quite a distraction. I think they're more parallel than anything, but if the Convel suit is successful, then it will change how the, you know, what the legislature would have to respond to that. I think the estimated impact, if you did it statewide, is over $1 billion. So I think the legislature would have to do something about that.
Did you say million or billion?
Billion.
Billion.
Billion with a B, okay.
Did you have a comment?
Yes, I had a couple of things. Kim, who's the superintendent over in Convel, did reach out to me, and I shared that with the board. And she described three ways to join. The first, she said, was to declare as a co-complainant, which I think you've covered. The other one would be to file our own suit, which I think you covered. The third was to act as an intervener, which I said, I don't know what that means at all. I just wrote it down. Figured that would be best to have Will Phillips answer that question.
And look, he's getting the binder out. He's got
Well, no, the reason I'm doing it is I just want to see what they call Winchester, what was the first one?
It was to declare as co-complainant or help in some form financially, I think, was one of the ideas.
Declaring as a co-complainant, I think that's something that they're just trying to fashion a third mm-hmm. option. That wouldn't be a legal option relative to the case.
Okay.
So I think that's just maybe supporting and then supporting financially.
Yep.
Because I think that Winchester is a intervener with my assent as a petitioning party. No, they didn't even have to file a motion to intervene. There was an assented motion to be joined as a petitioning party.
So okay.
But functionally, they're the same. So I think the first one is not a term that I'm familiar with.
Okay,
so
yep.
I think it's one that came up with. The second one I didn't talk about, which is filing your own case. So and this goes to one of the questions you asked, and I sort of didn't answer it, say it directly, but the mere fact that Convel has a case doesn't mean that another district can't bring another case. So if Pittsburgh wanted to file a case up there in the northern part of in Coos County, Pittsburgh could do that. And it would be wholly independent, and you might end up with two different results, which would then drift to the Supreme Court, which would issue a decision that would, you know, might do it separately, but if they were, you know, similar cases, that probably would join the cases for purposes of an appeal. So that's the second option. And I think the third one, even though, at least from the order, it doesn't appear that they had to file a motion to intervene, it's functionally the same. They asked to be added as a party.
Okay.
They were accepted as a party. An intervention can be less direct. So I think here a good example is 20 years ago when Claremont was handed down, there was a subsequent case that got very little attention. I think it was called Allen v. the State of New Hampshire, and it was Convel and Messenic were looking to apply elements of Claremont to how cooperatives were funded. And at the time I was representing Convel, we filed a motion to intervene because the parties were residents of the towns of Messenic and residents of the towns of Convel. Those were the parties versus the state. That was the defendant. And we intervened because it was our budgets that were being addressed. So we intervened as an interested party. So we weren't intervening in alliance with the petitioners in that case. We were intervening to make sure that, you know, we didn't get a letter on you know, September 1st saying, oh, by the way, you don't get the money that you thought you were going to get, kind of thing. So an intervention can come in different forms, but I think the way those are described, the first one doesn't sound like sort of a legal process, but here's some ways for you to support the case.
Okay, and the fourth one, which she didn't mention, this was mine, was to do nothing. And hope that Convel paves the way for everybody else to get the mess straightened out in the state. I don't know how the board would feel about that, but that's why we asked you to come. The other thing that you haven't mentioned Monadnock, and Monadnock was very visible in the news right after it happened, and Winchester seemed to be the tag along to be the second one to go on. Where is Monadnock in on this at this point?
We don't know that. We reached out. There apparently was a vote, I want to say around March 20s in there somewhere, mm-hmm. before the hearing. The vote was to support it, but we have not been able to discern what that support looks like. I don't know if it was reeled back or what, but they did not join the petition, and that's what it looked like they were going to do.
So it's a letter of moral support, not necessarily financial, for joining into any of the legal wranglings.
As I said, it looked, at least from the reports, we weren't at the meeting, and it looked from the reports that they were going to be joining as petitioners. That did not happen.
Okay.
So it may be that they fall into option number one in that case. I heard last week, I heard that it was unclear as to what they decided they were going to do. And as you know, the board, if you have a motion that's unclear, the board really can't do much until the board meets again and clarifies it. So I don't know if that's what happened, mm-hmm. But.
Okay. Reaching Higher New Hampshire did a release on the governor's addendum to the budget, apparently, and I know very little about this other than what I read. I was trying to get it in here, but I wasn't getting any reception. I don't know if you're familiar with the Reaching Higher New Hampshire, whatever it is, organization, and they actually listed the towns that would benefit from the governor's adjusted budget.
From
Reaching
was this
Higher
today?
This was about a week ago. They used Hillsborough as one of the examples.
Right.
Marjorie Porter. Yeah, Marjorie Porter's involved, yes.
Yeah.
They said we'd get $2 million
It passed. It did pass.
Well, is that the addendum passed?
I think it passed.
Well, that's not the that's not the governor's addendum, but it's so there's a HB2, I think. Part what?
Oh, yeah. It's at the House level, sorry.
Yeah, so at the House level, the amended budget on the House level passed last week.
Okay.
And I don't think it was Reaching Higher. I think it might even be, it was NHMA that did it, but, so using...
So it was the House...
I'm just trying to find...
Amendment to the governor's recommended state budget would increase school funding to the state's most vulnerable communities for the next 2 years. The latest version, which was presented to the House Finance Committee on Tuesday, provided 154 communities with at least 5% more state funding over the current formula and the most vulnerable. And Hillsborough would get $2 million
in
that.
Right, so this was an
amendment to
the governor's budget.
And that did pass,
right.
I believe.
Right, so there's a... There's an education funding analysis, preliminary estimates for discussion only. So this was part of the numbers that were used in part. And so Hillsborough under HB2 amendment, so fiscal year, current fiscal year under the current statute, $6.1 million. This is includes total education grant, statewide education property tax, and raised and retained, and then kindergarten grants based on Keno. So Hillsborough this year, $6.1 million under the estimated budget for next year, it would be $6.5 million. And for 2021, it would be $7.5 million.
Okay, and that's the release from?
This is from, we got it indirectly from...
NHMA?
NHMA.
Okay.
But it may have been from a different source.
And that did pass.
This did pass the House.
House.
Not the Senate.
But that was $400,000 difference, not $2 million.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Correct. It was $450,000 for current and $1.6 million for 2020. I mean, sorry, back up.
6.1 and 6.5?
Yeah.
Well, this is just Hillsborough, so I didn't even throw the area.
Doing it, okay. Yeah.
So Hillsborough for, let's just do it that way. So Hillsborough for 2020, 451, well, 452 if I round up. And then Deering is 112. So that's first year. And then the second year, Deering is 126. And Hillsborough was 1.6. So actually, if you add those up, you're over $2 million in 2 years for Hillsborough there. And that might be how they came up with that.
You said it was 1.6 in year two for Hillsborough.
So this
the different the differential. Is the house.
We just sent that out with our legislative bulletin, so you can get a link to the.
Okay.
And unfortunately, it says prepared for House Finance Division 2. So this is actually the LBA. So this is the data that the House was using when it debated the bill last week.
Okay.
There's a link to it on our legislative bulletin, which
literally just came out as I was driving.
Yes.
Okay.
So it does have it in the.
Okay, that's
we do have that piece of it.
Okay. So that's close. That's about $2 million we decided. And that's with this board doing nothing.
Well,
other than advocating at the state level.
That assumes that.
For people to vote in. The House has already passed it.
The Senate has not passed it.
So the Senate has not.
So
what the board could do is call all of the senators and say, Hillsborough Deering is getting killed with our taxes because you're not giving us adequate. That would be enormously helpful. But now in the lawsuit with Conval, the numbers, that and again, this target keeps moving on us.
Yep.
Their formula, I tried to extrapolate out to us.
Okay.
And it was way more than $2 million. If Conval's formula worked the way they said it was going to work, we'd be talking much bigger numbers. We're talking $4 million or... I hate to put a number out there because I don't want to get quoted because it changes all the time, but it would be way more than $2 million.
This is an oversimplification, but I believe that the Conval number is approximately 2 to 3 times what the current base adequacy is.
So that's
base
exactly.
Base adequacy is 36.
Right. So if our adequacy, our base, because it's, I think it's the 36 is ours also, it's across
the, that's the base.
That's the base, right. Okay? And if that's per pupil and that doubles, that's about $6,858,000. Hillsborough, I mean, that's a, like you're saying, extrapolating out, taking if the Conval suit is based on doubling the base. And that's a very hard thing to do because it's taking one piece of a formula. Like we try to figure out what the tax rate's going to be, but no one ever takes into account what the assessment of the value of the homes is going to be. And your rate doesn't mean anything if your property values go down 20% like they did here. Or if they went up 20%, then the tax rate's going to go down. It's one part of a mathematical equation. So I guess the question comes to the board is, what should this board do to advocate as strongly as possible for either of these things at this point?
Or both of those
things. Or both of those.
I can't speak to, and I know that's why I'm here, but I can't really tell the board what it should do relative to Conval.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you anticipate the New Hampshire School Board Association taking a stand on this topic? Because right now the New Hampshire School Board Association hasn't taken a stand on it, and New Hampshire School Administrators Association hasn't taken a stand on it because they're advocating for the existing bills that are in there. And I think Chris asked, is that more of a distraction to have organizations take a stand on one, meanwhile the progress you were making on the other one goes by the wayside? we're shooting for the $6 million, but by shooting for the $6 million, you get nothing. You'd have been better off supporting the ones that are already on the table, I guess.
In fact, I think it was the Superintendents Association, they were the ones I was looking to make sure I had it right, because I was looking at a lot of emails on this the last few weeks. They actually said the reasons why they weren't taking sides is because of all the legislation that's in the legislature right now, even though it hasn't passed, but they're hopeful that something will happen, and they didn't want to detract from that, where I know the School Board Association's reasons were different, mainly because of the assembly.
I'll walk it back a little bit. I don't know that they cross over. I think they're parallel. I think, you know, the surprise probably, you know, hasn't helped us define our position. So the question was, will we take a position? I can't speak for the board. I can say that we haven't had the occasion to do it. I know there have been communications, but I'm not in a position to say what the board would decide to do. I don't think that, you know, we have taken any position against the suit. I think the suit raises different issues than some of the bills do, or for the most part, they're just different altogether, except some of the bills rely on adequacy, but they look to redefine it. So I don't know that I can answer the question. All I can say is we haven't taken a position against it. I don't know why we would one way or the other.
So given what we've heard tonight from Will, what we've seen, what are your thoughts? I'm talking to the board itself. Like, you know, there's a lot on the table. Timing is of the essence on some. Or we do nothing, we wait and see. What is the thought process?
I'm not comfortable diving into this the way it stands now, and given the timeline, I don't think we could get it together feasibly to if we're going to jump in to do it well.
I disagree. I think we should join. I think we should authorize the superintendent to reach out to Conval and find out what our next steps are. I mean, to be honest with you, I don't trust the legislature to adequately fund schools. So I think we move forward with it. I mean, we've been talking about it for the last two meetings.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, we have enough. We know that it's not going to have any adverse effect on us one way or the other. I mean, to me, there's an upside with no downside. We do it.
I would agree with that. What about Chris, Paul?
Well, so financially, our private lawyer would
that's
sending us at the fee that,
that part
wouldn't
is,
be costing us more?
That's correct. It would be an investment.
Financially.
And that's why I think if we...
We're not getting anywhere near what we should be getting. We sit here and do nothing, we'll continue to get what we get.
Exactly.
You know, so we have to, I mean, this is at least something we're showing support, and if this should win, then it'll go a long way solving one of the big issues we have in this district. If we don't do it, we don't solve it. You know, it's as simple as that.
I'm in favor of potentially jumping in, but I think we need to answer some of the questions financially first, as far as those ramifications. So, you know, like that's where I don't think I'm a fan of giving any one person the power to act on things yet. If it means that we have to meet again once we get more information, yeah, maybe we need to have a special meeting and meet sooner. Yeah, since time is of the essence, but I don't think we should necessarily jump in and, you know, right now without necessarily knowing, but, you know, it's something maybe we can have more discussion about too.
Paul, what are your thoughts?
I guess one of the questions is, would we be better off reaping the benefits of these bills in the legislature now are going after, I can't see them getting both. Might get one, might get none. But I don't think I'm ready at this time to jump in.
Will you mention, okay then.
Yeah.
Will you mention the retirement? So somebody did, maybe it was Chris. At one point in time, the state used to fund the municipal employees, fire, police, teachers, 35% of the costs of running that. And now they provide zero. And there's no question in my mind that 35% of all of the pensions being pushed back onto the real estate taxes, because that's where it eventually wound up. Whether how you filter it down, it comes down to the state pushed this back on your real estate tax. And we're all fighting with each other over our real estate taxes, when the reality of it was the districts have been placed in a position to come up with all of this money by the actual costs to increase the actual costs of education have been pretty small. The second one is the adequacy fund. The adequacy was supposed to take care of some of that. And the adequacy has been voted on by the legislature. I think they put it on hold for now to suspend it, or that's a bill that's out there right now. The 4% adequacy money that we were seeing was the one year we used as the example, and so it was one particular year. That 4% was $225,000 for this district. And if that were to be decreased for 25 years...
Oh, you mean the stabilization?
The stabilization fund. I'm sorry. Yes, I meant stabilization. The stabilization fund, decreasing it by 4% a year for 25 years, 25 times $225,000. That is, the state is saying, we're no longer going to give you this revenue. So all of us towns and all of the taxpayers, we're all mad at each other. We're mad at the schools. We're mad at the fire. We're mad at the police. We're mad at the DPW. We're all, the old people are mad at the young people. And the kids are in the middle of all of this. This has been foisted on us by the state. And that's why I feel that the board is at this point frustrated enough with what the state's done to the local communities. They want to do something, but they don't know what to do. And I don't know quite how to advise them. And I just as something for Chris's sake, whether you put me as the person who you name to do the speaking, or you appoint Catherine, or you appoint an attorney, it's the town of Hillsborough, or the school district, Hillsborough Deering School District, like it was when it was Claremont against the state. So I think that's easily solvable to decide on that. That's a 10-minute discussion in my books that the board can make. But they just don't know where to stand on it. And I know you have no crystal ball, but...
Well, even if I was in the position of advising, when you're the attorney, all you can do is provide options. And when you're actually the attorney for a client, you can provide options and insight that just general information can't. From this general information standpoint, other than the potential for delaying the suit or the ultimate decision, I don't see how joining would be a detriment to the likelihood of success of the case. So in other words, it could help, but I don't think it can hurt, other than the possibility of causing a delay. And that in and of itself could be reason to say, you know, step back. But that's information that, you know, can only come from a conversation, not probably with counsel for Conval and Winchester. You know, they may say, no, help us this other way. Don't
right,
help
at this
us
point,
this
they may
way.
Not want our help anymore. Right. Given the timeline and the way things have shifted and changed, they may not.
I do know that they have had a couple. They had a couple of meetings just last week, I think. So even after the decision, so I don't know that they've closed the door entirely. I just can't say. I knew of the meetings, but we weren't. We weren't parties to them.
Okay.
So can help. Don't think it can hurt.
Right.
But legislatively, certainly jump in with everything you have. Not everything, go the other way. But
yeah.
You can do both at the same time.
Okay. All right. Have we beat the dead horse?
Thank you, Will.
I lied. It is the hot seat.
Thank you
so much.
That was awesome.
It.
I'm sorry.
No,
you were fantastic.
No, that was very, very informative. So thank you. We can circle back. I don't know if we have this we can circle back on board discussion items. We can come back on it. You want to do that?
Yeah.
All right. I know. All right, Josh.
Yeah.
Now Josh is on the hot seat.
Student report. This is my first one. So
yes. That's why I said you're in the hot seat.
If I don't provide all the information you want.
Don't worry about it.
But I'll try my best. Student report. So at the high school, spring sports have started, and just I didn't get to sit down with the coaches, but from what I gather, they've all the teams at this point have had at least one game, and practices have been going on for quite a while now. As well, I think it might have been mentioned before, but the OSCATs, the robotics team, were in Hartford. They were 14th out of 39, and in the 8th seed for the finals. Cooper Bryan played without foul in a defensive round, in which I was confused by the exact explanation given, but Mr. Rothrichi, the advisor of the program, said technically defense wasn't allowed, so playing without foul while on defense is pretty remarkable. This year's robot was almost entirely built and programmed by students, and Mr. Rothrichi thinks it's a good team for moving forward.
Good.
This is also the first high school spring fling, which will end with a student-staff volleyball game on Friday. At the middle school, there was a pep rally last Wednesday. I believe it was to kick off the spring sports season. So that happened. And there's currently a considerable number of art projects going on with a considerable amount of student choice. They span mediums and many different methods. At the elementary school, there's the buy one, get one free book fair, hence I assume why we're in here.
Yes.
April 18th is the student showcase from 5 to 6, and also the spring musical, The Rainbow Fish.
Mm-hmm.
The cast has been working hard on that and looks forward to performing. The doors open at 6, the show starts at 6:30. So that's what I have.
Thank you, Josh.
Yeah.
You did a very nice job.
Thank you.
Correspondence?
None.
Recognition?
Well, I do want to say that Veronica Heitner is running run the marathon today. The last time I checked, I think she was into it for a little over 4 hours. 4 hours and 22 minutes sound right to you? Somewhere in that ballpark. And Dan Reckitt, the principal, had an app that was able to show where she was on the map. And so she was this far away. I'm sure that translates out into many more steps or miles than I would ever do. But the kids did an absolutely fantastic send-off on her.
They did.
Friday was a little chaotic around here. Friday afternoon I came down to see the principal on another matter, but the kids were lined up in the hallways, and like a lot of the kids had done cards for her, and they had done some crepe paper across the hallway, so she ran through the crepe paper, and it was a little insane, but she's actually a kind of shy person.
She's very quiet.
So for her to have walked through the hallways and all the kids giving her high fives and everything, our hats are off to her for doing that. So
pictures on Wakelet.
Yeah.
4 hours, 44 minutes, 56 seconds.
There
good
you
for
go.
Her. Yeah. That's an accomplishment.
So, what was
it? 4 hours, 44 minutes, 56 seconds. She also raised over $10,000 for Tufts Medical.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Excellent. Anything else?
Just to add part of it, what I heard from my report from my student who comes here too is he was excited about the process that she shared and how she trained and how she couldn't do the marathon unless she passed the pre-qualifying. And so I think that just the whole gift of that process, I think, just added to the energy of the students. It was nice for them to jump onto that.
Yeah. Just out of curiosity, I don't need an exact number, her general age.
She's young.
Young.
That's she's right. Young.
So she's under 65, okay?
She's
she's
young.
She's under half of that.
Yeah.
I would say there might be a two where the six is in my number, but that would be a guess.
It's still time. You can still do a poll.
Yeah. any presentation?
No. Not
okay. Evening. Public comment? Nope. This is an opportunity for members of the public to share an idea or concern with the board. Comments are limited to 5 minutes per person. It is not the practice of the board to immediately respond to comments made. Do we have any public comment at this time? Sure.
You want me to come up there?
Sure.
Because
yep.
I can speak right
you
here.
You can speak. Just can you just tell us your name, where you're from?
Yep. My name is Chad Cosner from here in town.
Okay.
I don't want to come across as disrespectful to anybody, but I think some of the stuff I'm about to talk about, this is the superintendent, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You will remember some of this. We have an issue in the school where there's policies put in place as far as bullying, yet there's no policy in place for the staff being the ones that are bullying. What am I talking about? This high school, the staff, the principal, the assistant principal, and the school coordinator seem to have their own way of doing things. Earlier in the school year, our son was given a suspension of 3 days for vaping on the school bus. He's wrong. We don't question that whatsoever. But the school gave him a 3-day suspension. At the end of the 3 days, they added 7 more. Due process is something that is mentioned throughout the school conduct policy, yet that's not due process. If a kid's going to get a longer suspension than he initially should have been. Now, this is where the problem was. They gave him, or tried to give him, and the superintendent will remember this because he was the one that intervened on it, a punishment of having a drug paraphernalia. A vape device is not drug paraphernalia. Okay? They made him go to diversion program. There is nothing mentioned at all within the school policies that any student is given a diversion program for nicotine or anything. Okay, so what right do they have to do such a thing? Okay, that's one. Two, when he didn't complete it, because we weren't gonna make him do something that he shouldn't have been doing, he was given 5 more days of school suspension. So you're sitting here tonight talking about, well, we need this money, and we need this, and we need that. The money's not even being used properly, because you got people that aren't doing their jobs properly. This same assistant principal searched him because he was on video in the gymnasium during his gym time because somebody toilet papered the bathroom. Why do I bring this all up? Because it's a pattern. I have talked to many other parents in this community, and unfortunately none of them were able to come here tonight, that have taken their kids out of the school because of the treatment they received from Clancy. They have had nothing but problems, and there is a very common denominator in all of this. Every single one of them has got an education problem, and every single one of them is a male student. This is something I believe the school board needs to look into, because it's unacceptable behavior for a student to go to school with the idea of trying to better themselves, as our kid is. He dropped out of Dover High School, moved here with his mother's boyfriend because he felt it was a better opportunity than being in the Dover School District. And he's had nothing but problems with some of the staff at the school. And some of the things, and I'll talk offline because some of it's not important, you know, I'd be more than happy to speak offline with either the principal, the superintendent, or anybody on this board. Some of the things that Assistant Principal Joy Clancy has said is inappropriate as a school principal. Very inappropriate. And I wish I could have recorded everything that she said so I could play it back to you, and you'd be as disgusted about it as I am. Telling us that a kid that she, our son was assaulted the first day back to school. If I get close to it, just tell me, and I'll speed up. He was assaulted the first day back to school after Christmas vacation. Kid threw a orange juice at him. This was the same kid that punched him 2 days earlier, and we had to bring him to the hospital for stitches. Okay? They suspended our kid. I asked her, is it on video? Yes, it was on video. I said, did he or did he not throw an orange juice at him? Yes, he did. Do you know if I take that to the police department, the kid is going to be charged with assault? As stupid as it is, it's still assault. Yep, you're right. Okay, well then why are you suspending our kid? Oh, because he pushed him out of the way. So, yeah, I get it, you pushed him out of the way, but the kid was trying to come at him to assault him once more time. What did she do at that time? Searched him. Searched his being because of somebody destroyed the bathroom in the gymnasium before they went on school vacation. Do you not see this as inappropriate? First of all, why is a principal searching a student? A 16-year-old doesn't realize that that's a violation of his rights. And what does somebody destroying the bathroom have anything to do with what he might have on his hand, in his bag or in his pockets? Was he carrying toilet paper around? I mean, think about it. That's as stupid as this sounds. Okay? And these are the kind of things that are going on in this school by the staff. And each of the parents that I spoke to, eight in total, all have had the same problems with the same people. Alberts, O'Rourke, and Clancy. Some of them have taken their kids out of the school. This is something I think the school board should be paying attention to. That's all I got.
Thank you. Any other comments? Yes.
Thank you. Members of the board, Lee Boss, as president of the Lions Club, I just wanted to thank you again for the use of the gymnasium for our Harlem Superstars game. It was a tremendous success. I didn't know we had that many little kids in this area that could fill a gym floor. I did see the superintendent there. Maybe next year we'll get him into the game. I had to replace Michelle Prentice, though. She's a downright superstar. So thank you. It was very, very pleasant adventure. And plus, we netted nearly $1,500 to use towards projects like the RIF and the hearing and seeing screenings. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments? Board response to any comments that we've heard? Board discussion items. Public hearing follow-up. Expense from maintenance expendable trust. So we didn't have a lot of comments or feedback on the public hearing. I've got one bid. Are we comfortable with moving forward with that one bid?
I have a few questions.
Sure.
What is the balance of our maintenance expendable trust?
That's a Larry question.
I know, but I mean, here's why I'm asking this. We're getting towards the end of the year, and to me it's unclear whether or not we should take this from the trust or see if we have it in our surplus towards the end of the year. That would be another question. That's another Laurie question. I know. So I don't feel comfortable voting on taking it out of the trust until we get some information from Laurie. I mean, it's as simple as that. Because my other question is this. What does the board feel comfortable with having in that maintenance trust fund? I mean, I thought we were somewhere in the 150s, 160s, but I'm not sure. If we take out $50,000, it brings us down to 110, 120, 130. Do we feel comfortable with that number, or are we going to? Because if we take it out of it this year, we're going to be saying, "Oh, we want to put it back up next year." And I don't think we should do that. If we have the money in surplus at the end of this year, I really think we should take it from that and not from the expendable trust. But again, I have all these questions, and without having the answers, I can't vote on it.
Anybody else have comments?
For clarification, too, did I hear that we have one bid and were we working on getting another two? Or were we going to go with the one?
We posted in the papers, didn't have a response. Well, we did have the one response. I reached out as well, and locally, and there just isn't anybody large enough locally to do the job. So
So we've posted it, we've made the effort, we just haven't gotten a response.
Yep.
Okay, we're not going to go chasing people necessarily.
Yeah. And I'm not saying we shouldn't do it. I think we should do it. But where the money comes from, I think, is, in my mind, is still up in the air.
That's fair enough. Any other questions, comments? Do you want to... we've had the public hearing. We've done our due diligence. It's now just a matter of where we take the money from. And we could, we're not doing the project until this summer. So we don't have to take action right at this exact moment. Is that a true statement? We can...
I believe so.
Mm-hmm.
Wait until...
You've had your public hearing.
Okay.
Wait, well, when do we have to... lock in the
Well, if we're going to take it out of this year's budget, we have to act before
the end of June.
Yes.
Right,
but are people going to be able to even do it if we do not request them? I mean, they can't put everything on hold just for our project.
Well, we're funding it, we just don't know where it's going to come from. We're going to fund it one way or the other. I'm not saying we're not funding it, but just a matter of where we're going to fund it from.
If we sign a contract, we should
we have to know
where it's coming from.
Why do we have, we say we're going to pay it, we just don't know we're going to take it from our left pocket or our right pocket. We have money in both.
Well, if I was a contractor,
okay.
I'd want to know which pocket.
Okay, so you have to know which pocket it's coming from before you sign a contract? I don't think so. I think we can just say we're going to pay it. We'll let you know a little later when it's due. But that's how I'm looking at it anyway.
I think though too, we were gonna probably the wording of where we're gonna pull it from was gonna be up to $50,000.
Yeah, that was the next.
And that
we
was
do that.
Partly because of the grant, which we don't know we could get. That could be this July, could be next July, hopefully sooner. But we don't know how quickly that grant program's gonna move and if we qualify at all. So I mean, I guess that could be the same for. We don't completely know, even if the business administrator is here, we don't know completely what the surplus is going to look like. It's still a little early. So I mean, we don't know if we'd be able to take all of it from surplus or not.
That's true. We don't. So we'll. I'm just saying, well, let's wait and see.
Is everybody comfortable waiting, or do you want to vote?
Well,
or
do we need to authorize
what
we want to do? We can get into a contract?
Yes.
We can vote to authorize the expenditure.
Okay. We're just not going to tell them where the money's coming. We're not going to tell them what pocket it's going to come from until we decide.
We can decide that later.
We won't put that on our motion.
That's true.
Left, right.
Okay. Yeah, we have four pockets.
We have four pockets. Okay. All right. So we want to do up to $50,000. Is that what we?
So we're saying we're going to give back $50,000 less.
No, we're not saying that.
No,
we're saying that we're authorizing him to enter a contract up to $50,000. We're going to decide later where that money's going to come from.
Because we very well might end up taking
why can't
from
we
the,
decide now?
You can if you want. I'll just vote. I won't vote. Or I'll vote no. But I'm not going to vote yes. Because I think it's worth...
I thought we had discussed it. We were going to take it from...
I thought we considered it to be and classified it as an emergency. Rich does make a point that if we have the funding available, we could explore going down that path. I mean, we could go either way. And if we have the time, we can explore the other path and still come back to the trust. We might say, hey, that's my opinion.
As long as the hearing's behind us.
As long as we've done that piece of it,
yes.
Then we can authorize it because we had that.
So I think we can authorize.
I hate to ask the people to come and authorize us to spend it from the trust. Then we don't spend it from the trust.
Well, we've done that before.
Right.
We've had hearings in the past that we've delayed action till later.
I think it's still healthy to have a public hearing, even if we end up backtracking a little bit, going somewhere else. It just shows a little bit more transparency. It shows that we're not just moving ahead and doing stuff.
But we did have the hearing to talk specifically about pulling the funds from the trust. We didn't say we were going to pull the funds from the trust, from the surplus. So I do understand what Paul is saying. So I think maybe the next step is to just speak with Lori and get a definitive answer as to what we're dealing with financially.
We could take some time and try to go backwards. I think that she did give us a number at some point.
She did. I just emptied out my binder, and I don't have
hundreds of thousands of dollars.
No, I don't think it's hundreds.
Is it 160?
Probably about 100. Yeah. We were at one point almost 300, but we've been spending it.
I don't think it's that much.
So So I think it's like 150, 160, 170, somewhere in that area.
Right. I texted her, but she's not here. So.
Yeah, well.
Okay, I'll check again.
Yeah, I wouldn't expect her to answer it.
Well, you never know.
On a Monday night, come on, boss.
So we're gonna move forward with an action item of expending the approving to enter into a contract up to $50,000. Is that agreed upon? Or do we want to wait on the whole thing?
I'm not yes on that.
I'm okay. I think we have to move forward on that piece of it. I mean, we're...
Yeah, that seems reasonable to me. That's what I think we should
discuss.
You're agreeing to what you already did.
You
know there's lead in the pipes.
We've already decided to do
that. You know you need to replace it, so you know you're going to do that. So that part's already decided, so you've already decided.
So then we don't need to talk.
We're going to dip into for the money.
Right. The intent.
And we don't need to know that tonight.
All right, so we're going to scratch that from our action item then.
So the intent of the public hearing was to decide on taking it from there.
No, to let the public know we may take the money from the trust. And we did.
Okay. So then I don't need to do anything on action items number one then. Is that what we're saying?
Well, we still need to...
We need to approve the expenditure.
Okay, right.
Yeah. To approve authorize him to go on contract.
Done. Clear as mud. Number two, teacher and staff appreciation, May 6th through May 10th. We did not talk about that this week.
No, we didn't.
So in the past, we've always done something for staff at all three schools. What have we done historically?
Lunch.
Food.
Was it?
Yeah.
I will say, the PTO did not beat you to the bunch this year. So, Taco Biondo is up
for
grabs if you want it.
The board did
Subway because the PTO did the elementary school for Taco Biondo. But
we love Taco Biondo, but I think are we able to get Taco Biondo to all of the buildings in the time allotment?
It's a million.
They set it up. They don't serve it or anything.
Yeah,
right.
They bring it.
But they'd have to hit three buildings, four buildings.
Yeah. I guess what is the preference? Do we want to do the Subway was easy, wasn't it? Easy enough to do.
That's true. It could be one day.
Oh yeah, you could do one day.
Sorry, one for the audience.
You could. I mean, Taco Biondo is a huge hit, and it's you know, it's supporting our town.
It's great to keep it local.
Thoughts? Do one day.
That sounds good.
Taco.
Or we could divvy it up and do.
Taco
ole. And then we're overcomplicating this. It's food.
Tacos, 3 days. Sound good?
Yes, that sounds good.
Sounds great.
All right, back to Conval. My head hurts. What are our thoughts? Do we want to do anything with Conval at the moment?
No. I think if we were going to do anything like this, we would really have to have a lot more information before deciding. They obviously looked into this and took time, and went into the lawsuit. I wouldn't feel comfortable really in any fashion, and I am concerned about financially. What that would cost us with the lawyer.
Yeah.
As much as I agree with what they're doing, and as much as I would love to be able to have the state in some manner fund more of public education than they are doing so right now, I just don't feel comfortable jumping in like that.
I agree with
I'll say ditto, but I think to further that too, before we leave here tonight, I think as a board we should have a discussion, even if it's something that we take into just the board as a non-public. I don't know if we want to do that now or if we want to wait until towards the end of the meeting, just to sort of map out if we are going to do anything strategy.
But if we're not going to support them, why do we need to have a discussion? I mean, it's we either join them or we don't.
Yeah, I mean, it's consideration of legal advice too, so I mean, it could fall into that.
But, I mean, we, you know, what's the harm in having Bob reach out and say, we're interested in joining as a petitioner, what do you think it's going to cost us? And have him talk to the superintendent of the district, and he can come back in 3 weeks and tell us what he thinks, and then we can vote yes or no.
That would be more a question for the lawyer.
Correct.
For you to ask the lawyer what it would cost.
But Bob would be the point person. I mean, we have to have somebody speak for us based on...
Because he'll either come back and say, yes, you guys have enough time, it's a good idea, we could do it, we could pull it off. Or he'll say, the ship has sailed, it's too late. Is that what you're thinking, Rich? Like, and cost as well?
I think we should just do it, but I'm trying to muster up a majority. He said no, she said no, he said no. I'm trying to get people to say yes. So I'm trying to facilitate something that we can agree on. And I know you're concerned with the cost, rightly so. I'm not so concerned with it, but if we can say we are receptive to doing it, depending on if you can answer these questions and we find out how much it is, and then in 3 weeks we say, you know, if the cost seems reasonable, we do it. If not, we say no.
I'm not opposed to having the lawyer investigate it for us. I'm less concerned about the cost than I am for the detriment to the cases already in flight and making sure that we can make our stance adequate. And that would be a lawyer question, whether...
But we have to make the decision that we want to do it first.
So I am not unopposed to not necessarily taking a definitive stance today, but also getting more information, if that makes sense.
Did I misunderstand that, that Mr. Phillips said that as a lawyer, he can give the options of what we can do? Would that be the same for our personal counsel, that they could give us the options, but not really direct us to what
to do?
It's
still going to be our direct. It's
going to be still going to be your decision. The lawyer could say, that was directed at me, right?
I wanted to make sure I was clear on that.
You've got option A, option B. You can join the suit. You can be this intervener. You can be whatever you wish in this. You could say to Conval, we will pay a third of the costs, of the legal costs, for fighting this battle. Because if it was Conval, Winchester, and whatever, but it seems what he said tonight was that Conval's suit is different than Winchester's suit. So where do we go with that? We don't support both of them? That's, I think, what you're saying makes sense, to have the attorney tell us what you think our options are. Now, there's a variety of ways that you could do that. You could commission me to do that, or you could do what we did tonight and get the attorney to sit right there in that seat and say, what are our options? And that way you hear it directly.
But do we have the time to do that? If we wait until our next meeting, it's already the middle of May. We don't have time to do that. We'd have to do it.
I think we authorize Bob to talk to the attorneys and give us some options. Because, I mean, a lot of it is just legal jargon that, quite frankly, I wasn't sure I understood. So have him do it, find out what it's going to cost, and in 3 weeks we vote. It's as simple as
that. We're not making a definitive answer.
Yeah. We're not making it. We're just saying we're interested in participating, depending on what we find out from you guys. It's reasonable.
Well, let's put it as an action item, and we'll see
what
the vote comes
out to. You know, if we find out in 3 weeks that we're interested in doing this, and we say yes, and it's too late, well, so be it. But at least we've done our due diligence.
All right, so am I adding it as an action item to authorize Bob, and then we'll see how the vote plays out?
Sure.
Okay.
As information gathering.
Superintendent's report.
Okay, well, we have the appointments, leaves, and resignations.
Thank you.
Not hearing any questions on that. I'll move forward to the business administrator's report. She did give me, pardon? Yes, you can.
No, it's my work.
I think it's pretty straightforward, most of it. She did leave me a note here that said that she has received and reviewed the draft report of the audit. She's provided her review comments to the auditors, and it will now go through the partner and quality control review prior to being released. That was my cliff note from her.
So it's still on schedule for the first meeting in May?
I can't answer that one, Paul.
He can read you again once you wrote.
I don't blame you. I want it as much as you do, Paul. I think it's really important that the public is able to go through that. But I can't make them go any faster. You and I have been on the same page on this for 7 years. We haven't been with auditors getting it back to us in a timely fashion. So.
All right.
Okay. One other item is the amount of snow days in the last day of school. We've gone around and around on this. Originally, we were looking at the last day for students to be the 13th. We had 5 snow days, and we had 2 late starts. So I think what's in the best interest of the children is for us to have the students go until the 18th, June 18th, and the teacher's last day will be the 19th.
Okay.
And if the board is good with that, I would ask that that be a motion.
Okay. Last day of school motion? Is that
last day of school for students, the 18th, and last day for teachers, the 19th.
We're far enough along in the month of April, we hopefully can...
Didn't we have one track meet that got canceled this week because of snow?
Yep.
Yes, I want to, you know, talk a little bit about Josh's presentation.
Josh did a great job.
Because one of the big problems we're having this year is all the fields are really wet still. Mm-hmm. And we've only had a couple of games where our kids really haven't been on fields practicing. So they've been doing mostly indoor practicing. So I think that's going to impact how we do when we're competing with other schools. So.
Okay. Is this...
I'm done with
last action item.
The last day of school.
Are we minutes now?
We're almost there.
You can go hours. You can go minutes. We have traditionally gone days.
Right.
And when we had 7 or 8 or 9, sometimes mm-hmm. we were trying to eke out how much can we really realistically make up when kids are in the middle of June and it's 85 or 90 degrees out and we've got 3 non-air-conditioned buildings. What is the actual educational value that you get out of fulfilling the day's requirements? So usually at that point flip to the hours. I think that since we had a relatively early, we missed 5 days. And quite honestly, our children need as many days as we can get in.
They do. I'm just curious.
Well, what's the balance in that? The balance in that is if we go the 5, we're really pushing. We're taking a pretty big chance that we're going to have the kids here in 90-degree weather with nothing going on. And we all realize that. Mm-hmm. In a perfect world, I think they should make up 5. But that's just the geek educator in me. The realist says that having 1,100 kids on campus when it's 90 degrees, non-air-conditioned, I felt that 3 was a more reasonable compromise, and we chose not to get into the hourly debate this year on that. The teachers have it in their contract that there's a mandated professional development day the day after. There's still some discussion around what that looks like. Because I don't know if that answers your question.
It didn't.
Okay.
if
do you want me to do the hours?
No. From what I understood, when we had 7 snow days, we were given... Am I off?
No.
Okay. We were given... the governor gave us leeway or something that we could, for one time, consider the minutes. Now, at that time, did we change so that we could just look at... the minutes, the hours, the days? What is it that we're really looking at?
I'm really glad you're asking this question, because it seems to be changing at a state level as to what they want their involvement to be in this. When I first came 7 years ago, I was under the impression that this was very strict, that you had to pick either days or hours. Mm-hmm. But that seemed not to be the case from town to town, and that when I looked around, there were towns that were doing really kind of whatever they wanted to do. when we had the enormous number of days, whatever it was there 2 years ago, all of a sudden it got everybody's attention. And then it seemed to fall off the radar, and the governor seemed to focus on whether or not we should be going to school before the summer is over, by his standard, and there's been no real discussion or any sort of guidance from the DOE. Last year, we got fairly specific guidance, a letter from the DOE specifically addressing this. Nothing this year. Okay, so I'm taking that as the assumption that we are going to go back to what we did before, when it's not a politically hot, no pun intended, topic.
And what was the definitive decision?
The definitive decision last year was you can go by hours and this is how you do the formula.
Okay.
I suppose that didn't help either.
No, it did.
Okay.
It did.
We
so
also,
basically we can do what we want.
Yeah. We also get into debates over the last several years over what do the regulations say about graduation, and how many days before or after the other kids finish. But the reality of it is that's extraordinarily unfair, because with graduations, like, we rent a tent. We make arrangements. People make travel plans based on what we decide it's going to be. So now it's pretty much what we've gotten from the DOE, and I can't put my finger on anything in writing necessarily on this, but that, yeah, we're not going to get involved with trying to tell you when your graduation is going to be, because it's too late in the game for you to try to change it. So once you put your stake in the ground, stick to it, and no harm, no foul.
Okay. Anything else on superintendent's report?
Nope.
All right, minutes. Let's start with March 18th.
You want a motion to approve the Monday, March 18th minutes?
Yes, please.
I will motion to, I'll make that motion.
Sir, a second?
Wait, no. We just want a motion, and then we'll discuss them after. Motion to what? Approve them?
Motion to approve them. Discussion follows.
You can amend it.
Yeah. Well, okay, after. Okay.
Yeah.
After.
So just, you want a second?
Okay. I'll second. Discussion.
Under G, lower elementary school principal candidate, I think it's important, A1, I1, the explanation of not formally, I don't feel like that's really going to help people if they're looking at the minutes. Mm-hmm. She did explain that she's working as an assistant principal now, but her focus is on the lower level, so it is a similar dynamic. I think it would be important to relay that to the public if they weren't here. And also the under double I, currently have a student that's not able to make it to school every day, and a couple of things that she said about that, they're Skyping or trying to keep him engaged, just something that explains if people come back to this.
So do you want her to go back and re-listen to the minutes and amend? Like, what, do you have an amendment, or you just...
I would like to...
What do you want the amendment to say?
I would like the amendment to simply say, not formally, but at this time, she's employed as an assistant principal, focusing on lower elementary. It's a similar dynamic with the existing principal that she will be entering next year in our school. Something like that. Yeah? Is that too long?
No. It's minutes. Yeah. It's minutes, so it's, you know, you try to knock it down to what's, you know, more or less the sum. If you want to do all of the words, then these get really long. Jenny LaLiberté is currently in the Bonstead Elementary School, and they have a K-8.
Yes.
And the principal is responsible for the 5-8.
Mm-hmm.
And she is responsible for the K-4. Mm-hmm. So she is responsible for the lower part of it. but she's being paid as an assistant principal, though she's principal for that half of the building. And actually, from what I'm told, is she's also been doing a lot of the stuff for the fifth grade. The school board there decided not to support changing it to a formal co-principal thing. So when she said not formally, there was no formal vote to have her do K-4. There was no formal vote for her not to do K-4. So I think that's how she tried to answer that question, because I think the time was was spent on her experience there.
Mm. But I took it, I read that as how Herla took it.
Yeah.
And if I'm a public member reading this, not being sitting in that room,
so
I'm
going to
be like, what the heck? We hired somebody with nobody formal, no yeah. formal experience.
So yeah. how do you want to change the wording of it without changing what she said?
Informally.
There was a different structure in Bonsted?
Yeah, something like that.
I mean, I was I served as assistant principal under a different structure.
Yeah, that works.
Is that? I don't want to take her words either. You
right.
know I mean, I don't want to.
But I don't think that does. I don't think that gives her justice for
exactly.
what.
Exactly.
Okay.
For what she has yeah. to brought to the table.
Wait, so after she said that formally, she did explain a little yeah. bit more. So those of us over there heard it, but I would second what Herla wants to.
All right. So do we know what we're doing?
Did you get that?
Yeah.
So can you read back what it's going to say?
Because we need a second on Herla's emotion, basically.
You're looking at me to read back what you're going to write.
If we said not formally, I was the assistant principal of the lower grades in Barnes Meadows.
Yeah, what do you got? I think we're overcomplicating this.
Yeah,
what do we got?
Served as an assistant principal in Barnstead for the lower levels in the elementary school under a different structure.
Perfect. So that's Herla's. You're going to motion to change that.
I move to change GAI1 to what they just said.
I can second that.
Okay. All those in favor of that motion.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstained? Okay. Any other amendments? Oh, yeah, we're doing the GA2? Do you want to change that one, too?
Currently have a student that is not... I make a motion to change it to saying currently have a student that is not able to make it to school every day. We are attempting to keep him engaged via FaceTime.
We just add yes.
What?
Well, the question was, can you share with the board about FaceTiming students? Yes.
Yes.
No, I'm saying yes. We currently have a student.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah. Currently have a student able to make it every day.
Yes.
Okay.
Does that not describe how she answered?
It keeps it simple.
She did. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
It keeps it close to her words.
Maggie, do you have that one? Okay. Is there a second for that one?
Yes.
All right, all those in favor of that amendment?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstained? Any other amendments? Can I just ask a question? Are we doing, this is just because I'm really OCD, are we doing first name, last name, both names? Because there's Idonacy, there's McGinn, there's Chris Bober, there's Rich Pelletier, there's McGinn, do we have a standard of what we want to have across the... We have Herla, and then the next bullet, it's McGinn, and then it's Bober. So are we... I'm really OCD about that stuff. So do we have a consistency, or do we care? Or do I just need to, like, take an Ativan before I come here and chill out?
Or we could just request consistency in the future.
This is the first time I noticed it was all over the place, so I just didn't know if there was a rhyme or reason.
It's nice to have last names.
Yeah, last name's fine.
Last name's fine, as long as we don't have two Smiths or whatever.
Yeah. Because, I mean, even up here, even up with the policy, we've got, it's all, I know I have a very long name, but, so that's just my comment. Can we, moving forward, just be consistent? Can we please just round it out? We don't have to fix it for this one. I don't think. Can we just, moving forward, just...
Which do you prefer?
I mean, just last name is fine. It's probably easier for you to type, too. Does that work for everybody? Any other amendments for March, what date, March something?
March
18th. 18th minutes? Okay, moving on to the board. Is there a motion to approve March 18th minutes as amended?
So moved.
Is there a second?
We already have a motion.
Oh, yeah.
We have a motion. We amended it. So now we have to vote on the motion that's amended. That's where we're at.
Okay.
Sometimes they have a couple of files of periods.
All those in favor of the minutes as amended?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstained? All right. Minutes pass. 5-0. All right. Now we can go to the next one. All right. All right. Minutes for April 1st. Is there a motion to approve the minutes for Monday, April 1st?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Okay. Discussion?
We can change BA.
Yes, please.
Mm-hmm. Brian wasn't
here. I don't think Brian was here, no. Or Parker or Colin. So can we change he to she? So can I make a motion to change BA sentence to she? Is there a second for that one?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Abstain. All right. Any other?
No, go ahead.
H?
Yes.
Oh, H. HA4, Paul Bader said, where will the state get the money? Somebody answered, but I don't remember who it was. But it wasn't me.
I said something about that being something for them to figure out. I think Mr. Hassett said it. I think a couple people just kind of.
So you just want to. You just want to.
You didn't say that.
No.
So how do you want
to. I asked the question, but I didn't give the answer. I don't know who gave the. I can't remember who gave the answer. Or maybe if I can say it was a couple people. Mm-hmm. The,
so we could just cross that out, couldn't we? It wasn't really like an answer.
It was like a rhetorical.
Yeah, it was more of a rhetorical question. Do you want to? It's your motion. Do you want
to
go there?
Well, I moved to put somebody's name there.
I don't know who said it though.
Yeah, I said it over.
I know I said it. I know I thought it.
I'm pretty sure I said it.
So you can put my name there. I'm proud of that.
Okay, so we're gonna put Herla. Sure I said it. So is there a so we're gonna add Herla to that? Is there a second?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So Paul's making that motion. Is there a second for that?
Second.
Herla. All those in favor of that one?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstained? Okay. Any others?
Public relations. D. What is the hit?
She's testing us to see how well we can spell check.
He's from Iran.
Yes. Do you know what D is supposed to say?
Yeah. Under B, H, B, I, Y, 1, D.
Somebody look at the typewriter. It's only one key off.
No, that's a lot of keys off.
Google it.
Intranet FERT to reach the population that doesn't get their information. Sure, that one. So I don't know what we want to do with that statement, but. Internet search. We need someone to
something up.
To research that. I don't know what that's supposed to say. Yeah. Was it the newspaper? To reach the population that does not get their information from digital sources? I don't know what that is supposed to say. Anybody have any idea what that was supposed to say?
It was a means of just.
I think that, yeah.
A means of reaching the population.
So you want to reword, how do you want to reword that, my friend?
Okay. Change D to a mean, immediate of, what did I say?
I don't know. I can't remember what I
did. I think it was a medium.
A medium?
To reach the population. Yeah, that would make sense.
A medium to reach the population that does not get their information from digital sources.
Right.
Can we change that comma to a period while you're at it? Is there a second?
Period.
Yes.
Sure, I'll second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. Any opposed? Any abstained? Any other amendments? Okay, is all the
was I don't remember what John Sadie's comment was. This would be KA5.
Yep, KA5.
On page 5.
Oh,
I was trying to read through that. The 9% cap for liability insurance adds up to 57% over the course of 3 years.
So oh, is that the Primax? Is that the Primax insurance talking? Is that
under public comment.
Right, okay. But what is he talking about?
20%, it should be 27.
Yeah. Oh, 27, sorry.
I guess.
Yeah.
Oh, that makes sense, yeah. 27? So we'll make, is there a motion to make that change from 57 to 27? Second?
Sure, sure. I'll second.
Eeny, meeny, miny, miny. All those in favor of making, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstained? Okay, any other changes? All those in favor of the minutes as amended?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstained? Motion passes 5-0. All right, what else we got? Okay, hold on. All right. Public comment. Hello? Yes?
First of all, I forgot to mention first time my public, my personal commendations to Josh. That was quite an achievement.
Very good job. For his first time.
One student from Hillsborough Deering, and the only other one was a son of a Hillsborough Deering teacher. So you should be quite proud.
Thank you.
Very good. First of all, I want to congratulate you for wanting to serve on a school board. I think you're all great people. We have totally different views of where our schools are going. I'm here because for the last 20 years I've been coming here and listening to the board say they want transparency. They want to keep the public informed. As a matter of fact, I was just reading here minutes with an extensive conversation of it at the last meeting. I'm here to challenge you to do exactly that. I would hope you would publish our school test results and their comparisons with the state, along with the school digger ratings of the Hillsborough schools on your website, and also send them out on your email blast program to all the people who get the nice news about what's happening in the district. The reason I ask you to do that is because of the results of, I'm sure you saw my publisher's perspective a couple of weeks ago, an indictment of the Hillsborough Deering schools. My wife and I have owned the Messenger for 30 years. I've never gotten such a huge, positive, one-sided response to that editorial. Ranging from retirees to parents of elementary school students who had no idea how poorly our school district is considered around the state. The school, parents, teachers, students need to know that. Please let them know that. I know I don't have to remind you that some of your duties are much, and responsibilities are much different as a board member than on the PTO. You have duties and responsibilities to all the people of this district. I was appalled recently when someone told me that Ms. Iodati had commented that she knows we have teachers who are just punching the time clock. But that's part of the system. If that's a true statement, with all due respect, you should immediately resign, because that is exactly what the problem is with this district. If you are not willing to set high standards and hold people accountable when they don't meet them, you should all resign. It's essential. You had a great conversation tonight about the Conbell suit, which will win or lose on its own merit. Claremont suit by itself or not. Conval will win or lose on its own merit. Where is the action item on your agendas to increase test scores? Where is the action item to increase the standings on School Digger? That is your job, and you're not doing it. Please do it. Thank you.
Any other public comment? Any response to public comment?
Hey. Well, I have a response. I guess I was just formally welcomed by Lee Bossy to the board. I deny saying that.
That's fine.
That's absurd.
That's the same thing I was told.
Yeah.
Any other? Okay, let's move on to action items. First action item is to enter into a contract to replace the sinks and the bubblers in the elementary school, up to $50,000.
And probably maybe that's expendable trust.
I thought we were waiting
on
that.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. Yeah, you're right.
Sorry. Okay.
Short-term memory.
So is there a motion?
I'll make the motion. So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
I'd like to amend that to make that from the maintenance expendable trust.
Is there a second? Okay, no second. So, all those in favor of entering into a contract to replace the sinks up to $50,000?
Aye.
All right, motion passes 5-0. We will follow up as an action item. We will follow up with Lori to get definitive answers, and we will circle back on where we are taking the money from. Is there a motion to approve the appointments, leaves, and resignations?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstained? Motion passes 5-0. Budget transfers. Is there a motion to approve the transfer to guidance professional services for the high school for $24,500?
Can I amend that to include all three together?
Anybody you want to do them all three? Do we have to do them all?
Anybody have any objections?
That's up to the board.
We can do it. All right. Is there a motion to approve all three budget transfers?
Yes.
Okay. Paul?
I'll second.
Chris seconds. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstained? Motion passes 5-0. All right, so let me see if I get this right. We are going to make a motion. Is there a motion to authorize Bob to follow up with our attorney regarding the Conval lawsuit to get more information on costs and timelines? Or do you want to word that differently, Rich?
It just occurred to me that if the anticipated costs is less than $25,000, we'll say. And I'm just pulling that dollar figure out of the air right now. That we authorize Bob to have us join as a petitioner, providing the cost is less than $25,000. If it's greater than $25,000, then he can come back and let us know.
So you're making that motion?
No, I wouldn't make that motion.
Is there a second?
Can I just get clarity on my on my marching orders? So am I asking the attorney to contact Conval to see if they want us to join them? Because
no, I would think we're saying that we want to join them. And if they say no, well, that's fine.
Okay.
But if they say yes, then we will join and we will contribute up to $25,000 to the law firm, to the cost.
All right, and so that was the motion for 25, and then if it's more than 25, then he comes back to us.
He comes back and he would do nothing.
Okay, is there a second? I'll second it. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed?
Nay.
Okay, that's 3-2. All right.
Cool.
You got your walking orders?
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool.
Is there a motion to approve the last day of school for students to be June 18th and the last day of school for staff to be June 19th?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstained? All right, motion passes 5-0. Is there a non-public meeting?
I don't feel the need for one.
Okay. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay. We're done?